Okay, good morning. So we are in the middle of Perek Chaf, chapter 20 of Sefer Shmuel. And we... Sorry, one second. Okay, so basically, David HaMelech, King David, is concerned that Shaul, you know, is after him, that even though Shaul maybe perhaps has been, Shaul, we know he's a little flip-floppy, flaky, goes back and forth between liking Shaul, David, not, you know, not liking him, going, trying to kill him, not trying to kill him. And now David wants to really see what's going on. And he devises a plan with, his friend, Yonasan. And they are going to find out exactly how Shaul feels about David. And the plan basically is that David is going to go into hiding. He's not going to show up for the Rosh Chodesh meal. And he's going to see what Shaul's reaction is to that. Now, we started talking a little bit about the idea of a Rosh Chodesh meal last week. And I just want to mention that it's actually brought down l'halacha, the idea of having a special suda on Rosh Chodesh. Of course, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Yud Tes of Or HaChaim says, Mitzvah laharbos besudas Rosh Chodesh. There's a mitzvah to increase your suda on Rosh Chodesh, to eat more on Rosh Chodesh. That's all he says. So the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not a chiyuv to have a meal to wash and have bread like on Yantav. That's why we said last week that if you forget Yal of the Avo, you don't have to repeat benching, because it's although there's a it's not a chiyuv, it's not an obligation to eat a full fledged meal. However. It's basically the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to come out is you should try to have something extra on Rosh Chodesh. So if it's a weekday, so you should have a little bit more than what you would have on a normal weekday. And if it is Shabbos, then you should have a little bit more than what you would have on a normal Shabbos. So actually for this, you'll actually find it right at the beginning of the... Once you pass all the parshas, so look for Machar Chodesh, for the day after Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, the truth is, if you guys want English, you can get a Chumash, because it's a Haftorah. Yeah, there you go. Okay, so that's just a point about the meals. Okay, so we are starting from... We're going to start from Pasuk Yud Ches, verse 18 of chapter 20. So you can find it over here. Okay? Now, just a little bit of the background of what's been going on. So as we said, David and Yonasan have agreed that David's not going to be there for the Rosh Chodesh meal, and they're going to see how Shaul reacts, and that's going to tell them, you know, how Shaul feels about David currently. So after making that plan, Vayomer lo Yonasan machar Chodesh. Yonasan says to David, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. V'nifkadeta ki paked moshavecha. And you're going to be mentioned at the meal because your place is going to be empty. Because your seat will be empty, so Shaul will take notice, and he's going to call on you. He's going to ask where you are.
Haftorah is for the next day, right?
Right, if tomorrow... No, it means tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Right, he's saying tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, so basically prepare yourself for that. Okay, so what's their plan? The Shilashta Tered Me'od. So he says, and you should do something three times. Not clear what the three is. The Shilashta, you should do something three. Tered Me'od, and you should go down very deep. What was he telling him? So he was either telling him that you should wait for 3 days, and then you should go down deep, meaning hide very well. Or he was telling him that for all 3 days, you should hide very well. And the Malbim says he was out in the field. So he was telling him that you should divide the field up into three parts. And each day, you should go deeper into the field and go further into hiding. And you should come to the place that you hid on the day of the work. What's the day of the work? So, we'll talk about that in a moment. And he says you should go basically and hide in the place where you hid on the day of the work. And you should sit next to the Evan Ha'azel, the stone that was some kind of identifying sign for travelers. Go and hide near that stone. That's what he told him. Because travelers are there. It could be like he's not telling him to be like right near the stone, but within a distance that you can hear what would be going on near that stone. Because in the plan that they're going to make, it's going to involve going near the stone and talking and saying something, and then he's going to hear him. Now, we already started, you know, looking at sort of Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. Based on this chapter, we've spoken now about the Su'uda. There's a lot to be learned from just these few psukim about Rosh Chodesh. So he refers to, he says, tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh, you should hide in the place where you hid, B'yom HaMaaseh, the day of the Maaseh, the work. What is the day of the work? So some of our Shemurim, it's just talking about on the day that we made the Maaseh HaShvua, the day where we took our oath, that's the Matudas David. He says you should hide, how does he say it? Maaseh HaShvua, the day that we took an oath. Which oath? The oath that Shaul took, that he wouldn't kill David. At that point, back then, Shaul took an oath not to kill David, and David was in hiding at that time. So Yonason's telling him, you should hide in the same place that you hid that time. Last time you were in hiding, after which time Shaul took an oath that he wouldn't kill you, and then you came out. But you should go back to that hiding place. But other Mefarshim say, no, you know what Yom HaMaaseh is? The day of Melacha, the day that you work, as opposed to Rosh Chodesh. That on Rosh Chodesh you don't work, but on... So you should hide in the place where you hid today, you know, or in the place where you were hiding already today. Tomorrow, when it's Rosh Chodesh, you should hide in the place that you hid on the day of Melacha, on the day when it wasn't Rosh Chodesh, the day that you would do work. Now, is it true that we don't work on Rosh Chodesh? People go to work on Rosh Chodesh. Are you allowed to work on Rosh Chodesh? So the implication is perhaps not, because it refers to the weekday as it refers to Rosh Chodesh as the day, or it contrasts Rosh Chodesh with the day of Maaseh, a day of work. So maybe on Rosh Chodesh you're not allowed to work. The Malbim says that what he was telling him is that on Rosh Chodesh they do a little bit of work, but you don't do heavy, you don't do serious labor on Rosh Chodesh. And so they wouldn't be working in the field. And therefore the field is a perfect place to hide on Rosh Chodesh because there's nobody working in the field. That's what the Malbim says. So that's what we have over here in our parak. Now the Gemara in Megillah is discussing how many aliyos you have for laning, for the Torah reading, each day. So we know every single day basically has a different amount of laning. So on Shabbos we have 7 aliyos, on Yom Kippur there's 6, on Yom Tov there's 5, on Rosh Chodesh there are 4, and on a weekday, on a Monday and Thursday when you lane, as well as on a fast day, there are only 3 aliyos. So why only 3 aliyos? Why are there only 3 aliyos on a weekday? Anyone know? Because you have to go to work. So you can't have a long laning. People have to get out to go to work. What? Pircha de Tibura, exactly. So the Gemara and Megillah brings a Braisa. The Braisa says, Zaklau, this is the rule. Kol sheyesh bo bitul melacha la'am, any day that there's going to be, if you have too much Torah reading, it's going to stop the people from working and they need to go to work. So then, for example, it says on a fast day, and it's true for during the week also, we have only 3 people called to the Torah. But if there's no bitul melacha, if they don't need to go to work, like Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, so then you have 4 aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, you have 4 aliyahs. The Gemara says that on Rosh Chodesh, there's no bitul melacha. You're not stopping people from working by having a little bit more laning. Now, what? On Shabbos. Oh, on Rosh Chodesh. Right, so you see already maybe that there's like maybe a little bit of work. Right, so even Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to work if it's davar ha'avid, if it's going to be a loss of you're going to lose money as a result. Very technical, exactly what you can work for and what you can't on Chol HaMoed. But if you're going to lose money, then you're allowed to work. So that's also why on Chol HaMoed perhaps there's 4 aliyahs. So it's not 3 because you have a little bit more. Not as many people are working. But it's not Shabbos, some people are working. So you have 4 aliyahs in the Torah reading. On Rosh Chodesh, you also have 4. So Rashi says, why is there no bitul melacha? Why is there no... What do we mean that people aren't working on Rosh Chodesh? Says Rashi, you know who's not working on Rosh Chodesh? The women. Ein hanashim osos melacha b'hem. Women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. That's what Rashi says. He says it to Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also. We're going to come to it this next week in the On the Same Page Learning Project. Gemara on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, 23a of Rosh Hashanah. It also says, implies that there was less work on Rosh Chodesh. Rashi tells us that this was a reward. The women were rewarded because at the time of the golden calf, at the time of the Chet HaEgel, they did not donate their jewelry to make the golden calf. And therefore they were rewarded with a day off, that they got a special day, Rosh Chodesh, that they don't work on Rosh Chodesh. So... says Rashi in Maseches Megillah, he says there's a pasuk to back up this idea that there's less work or that women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. You know which pasuk it is? Our pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, the verse that we just read backs up this idea, because the verse that we just read it said Asher Nistarta Sham B'Yom HaMaaseh. Yonasan says to David, on Rosh Chodesh, you should hide in the place that you hid on the day of work, implying that Rosh Chodesh is not a day of work. Rashi quotes that pasuk. In fact, the targum on our pasuk, if you look at the they call it targum Yonasan, whatever it is. Actually, I think it is targum Yonasan. The targum Yonasan on Shmuel, he says that it's Yoma Decholah, the day of Chol, mundane, as opposed to Rosh Chodesh. And the Mefarshim understand that to be implying that it's a day where you don't work. So you see, says Rashi, that Rosh Chodesh is not a day of work. So that's why you can have a little bit more leaning. At least the women don't have to rush off to get work done, you know? So the men don't have to get home from shul as fast, perhaps. Right? So that's why there's four aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh. Now the Mordechai, who's one of the poskim in the back of the Gemara, the Mordechai brings down in Siman Tuf Vav. He says that even the men don't do melacha kveda. They don't do heavy work, like to plow and to plant. That's also usher, that's forbidden for men to do on Rosh Chodesh. And that's why, and again, he quotes our pasuk, "Shuni start to sham biyom ha'maaseh." So that's just like the Malbim said in our sugya, in our pasuk. So we see this is actually something. It's not just pshat. We're not just learning pshat here, but these are real halachos that come out of this. That there should be less work on Rosh Chodesh. Now, in terms of how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, how does the Shulchan Aruch rule? So the Shulchan Aruch says, on Rosh Chodesh, mutter basyas melacha. Melacha, work is permitted on Rosh Chodesh. However, he says, women have the custom not to do work, and it's a good minhag not to work on Rosh Chodesh. The Rama says, if the minhag is that they do a little bit of work, so then they should do... Then they should just go based on their minhag. Whatever their custom is, if they work a little, they should work a little. The Bir Halacha says, though, that this is an established minhag. This is an established custom. Perhaps even from our Sinai, it goes way back, right, to the Chet HaEgel, that women had time off on Rosh Chodesh. So the Bir Halacha says that even if they're not taking, the whole day off from their work... By the way, when we talk about work for women, we don't necessarily mean, going into the office. We're talking about the work that they do at home, the housework, that they have, the laundry, right, the cooking. They have time off from that. However, he says that it doesn't necessarily mean that, he says they shouldn't work like a regular day. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to take the day completely off. They should do less than what they would normally do. That's what the Bir Halacha seems to come out. But in terms of men, there doesn't seem to be any carryover, at least that the Shulchan Aruch brings down, or the Mishnah Brura, in terms of not doing work. Even though the Mordechai said that we don't do heavy labor, we don't do plowing, but that didn't seem to carry down into the Shulchan Aruch. And in fact, one second, I think the Mishnah Brura even says that... Okay, no, never mind. Okay. Yeah. No. He's just telling him you had hidden. He's contrasting Rosh Chodesh to a different day that David hid. And the way he contrasts it is the other day is Yom HaMaaseh. So it sounds like Rosh Chodesh is not a Yom HaMaaseh, not a day of work. So we actually derive a halacha from there on some level that Rosh Chodesh is not a day of work. Okay, now one other important point about Rosh Chodesh. So Yonasan says to David, Machar Chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Now, how does Yonasan know that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh? Did he have a calendar that said when Rosh Chodesh is, like we have? So if you've learned Rosh Hashanah with us, then you'll know that it didn't work that way back in the day, right? They didn't have a calendar for Rosh Chodesh. The Torah says, right, next, this coming week's parsha, Parsha's Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Hashem says, when you see the new sliver of the moon, that's when you know it's Rosh Chodesh. They didn't have a set calendar. When they saw the moon, so witnesses would come to the court, and they'd say, we saw the moon. And the Beis Din would say, okay, it's Rosh Chodesh now. Now, and until they did that, it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. So, and that's why there's two possibilities for how long a month can be in the Jewish calendar, in the lunar calendar. A month can either be 29 days, and the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, is the first day of the next month. Or a month could be 30 days, and the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh, the 31st day is the first day of the next month. So it's either 29 or 30 days, depending on when the witnesses would show up to court and say that they saw the moon. Now, if they don't show up on day 30, and day 30 is not Rosh Chodesh, so then we know that day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, because it can't be after that. So for that, we wouldn't need to wait for witnesses necessarily. If it wasn't a 30-day month, then it had to be a 31-day... if it wasn't a 29-day month, and Rosh Chodesh would be on day 30, which would be day 1, so then it would be a 30-day month, and Rosh Chodesh would be the next day. That's how it would work. So how does Yonasan know that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh? So let's think about this. If it's day 29 right now of the month, so he doesn't know if tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh could be on day 30 or it could be on day 31. He doesn't know. And let's say it's day 30 now. So unless it was the evening, I guess it could have been, so he wouldn't know yet that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, because it still could be that today witnesses could show up and say, today is Rosh Chodesh. We saw the moon, and today is Rosh Chodesh. What? Right, or today. You know, so, right, you sometimes see the moon during the day. I guess not a new moon. Right, you wouldn't see a new moon during the day. I don't think, but yeah. So how does he know that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh? So Rabbeinu Bechayai, in Parshas Bo, says a very big chiddush. He says something very novel. He says it in the name of Rabbeinu Hanano, earlier. He says that establishing the month is really done al pi cheshbon, based on a calculation. Meaning we can, like we do nowadays, we know when Rosh Chodesh should be. So we know how long, basically, the moon has a cycle of about 29 and a half days. So we can know when there's going to be a new moon exactly. So even if we don't see it, but we can calculate when the new moon will be there, and we can know that that's Rosh Chodesh. Rabbeinu Hananel says that they would calculate when Rosh Chodesh was, and they would wait for witnesses to show up that they saw the new moon, but if no witnesses came, they would still declare Rosh Chodesh on day 30. Right? See, usually the traditional understanding is that day 30 could be Rosh Chodesh. Day 30 could really be day 1 of the next month. But if no witnesses show up, so then to say that they saw the new moon, so it's not Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is the next day. But Rabbeinu Hananel says, no, if they calculated that should be Rosh Chodesh, so even if no witnesses showed up, they would still make that day Rosh Chodesh, which is a big chiddush. It's not the implication of the Gemara, certainly. And Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes this from Rabbeinu Hananel, and he says, right, ideally you want a witness to show up and say he saw the new moon, because that's the best way to do it. But if he didn't, and you know that it's supposed to be Rosh Chodesh, then it's still Rosh Chodesh. And he quotes our pasuk. He says, David tells Yonasan, it's actually a pasuk coming up, but it's the same idea as the first pasuk of Machar Chodesh, that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, David says. David says, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. And he says, how did he know? Mehechan haya yodea David shemachar chodesh. How did David know that tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh? Same idea. How did they know when the? What do they mean? That tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. They're going to have this big meal.
What was 31 or 30? Which day is Rosh Chodesh? The 31st day was Rosh Chodesh, according to their calculations. How did they? Or every time they didn't know the 31st day was Rosh Chodesh.
No, they. What do you, wait, according.
I mean, according to what they're saying, no Aden came, which day was Rosh Chodesh?
Whichever day they calculated that the moon would now be visible, even if nobody saw it.
I heard this in a shiur last week. I was there somewhere. And also, the same way we have the calculator, they had it back then.
Right. Right. So it seems clear that they knew how to calculate it. The only question, we'll see in a moment, the only question was, even if they knew how to calculate it, but would they wait for witnesses still? So he says, how did David know? And we're going to see later, a pasuk, we'll talk about it later, that implies maybe that he says... That they even had, we'll see later a discussion if they had, if they even had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. So that's what Rabbi Hananel says, based on this idea that they knew when Rosh Chodesh was. It must be that they would calculate Rosh Chodesh and not wait for witnesses. The Rambam in Rosh Hashanah argues vehemently. The Rambam in his Perush on the Mishnayos argues on Rabbi Hananel. He doesn't quote Rabbi Hananel by name, but he says. He was. Rabbi Hananel preceded the Rambam. I don't know if I've ever seen him quote him. It's not clear that that's who he's talking about, but he does say he's quoting someone. He says, I'm bewildered by someone who could contradict this idea, and basically, whoever he's talking about, he says he was just looking, you know, to win an argument, and he wasn't. And then the Rambam says, no, he says that no, we would not sanctify a month, at least on the 30th day, unless there were witnesses that saw the new moon. And he says that's the pasuk. The pasuk says, Hashem shows Moshe the moon. This week's parasha, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. When you see the new moon, then it's Rosh Chodesh. It's only al pi ha'ra'iyah. You only do it if you have witnesses to the moon. He says, certainly they knew how to calculate it already from Moshe Rabbeinu. But they used that only to disprove a witness. If a witness would come too early or too late and say, oh, I saw the moon, they'd be like, no, you didn't, you know? I guess too early. If he would come too early, they'd say, that's impossible. We know how to calculate. Okay, so it's not clear. So perhaps it was like I was saying before. It could be that if it was later in the day already, on the 29th day, on the 30th day, sorry, then Yonasan knew that today is not going to be Rosh Chodesh, and tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh, perhaps. Well, not at this point. So, you're right. This is already, at this point, they're on the, we don't know what day it is. It's either the 29th or the 30th. We only know tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. But yeah, it's a little bit hard to resolve, I think, according to that. It seems like a pretty good proof that they knew when Rosh Chodesh was. Okay. Good. Let's read a little bit more. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Va'ani shloshes hachitzim tzida oreh. Says Yonasan to David, you're going to be hiding. I'm going to shoot 3 arrows to the side of this stone that he was talking about, right? He said, hide near that stone. I'm going to shoot 3 arrows near the stone. I'm going to send towards that target. I'm going to send three arrows towards the target. V'hinei, Pasuk Chafal, verse 21, Eshlach es hanar, I will send the lad forth. Leich mitzah sachitim, I'll tell him, go and find the arrows. Imamor omar lanar, if I say, and now Yonah's son is going to make a code with David. David's hiding, and he's going to say, if I say this, so that means you're safe to come out. And if I say this, it means you have to run away and escape. So he says, if I say to the lad, Hinei achitzim mimcha vahena, that the arrows are closer, so then, kachenu vavoa, David, he says to David, you take it and come, either take the arrow or take the lad or take the sign, different interpretations, but all the same idea. Take it and come out. Ki shalom lecha, because there's peace upon you. Ve'ein davar chai Hashem, and there's no danger. He says by the life of Hashem, he swears that means there's no danger. If I say, you know, to the lad that come closer, so that means I'm really talking to you, David. I'm saying come closer, come out of hiding. It's safe to come out. V'imko amar la'elam. But if I say to the lad, and use a different word for lad in this pasuk, the Malbim picks up on that. We'll talk about that in a moment. But if I say to the lad, hinei hachitzim mimcha v'hala, if I say to him the arrows are further, go, you know, they're onwards. So that's a message to you, David. Lech, run away, go away. Kishilachach Hashem, because Hashem has sent you. And he says, Chaf Gimel, V'adavar asher dibarnu ani v'at, in this matter that we've spoken, me and you, Hinei Hashem b'niu v'incha ad olam, Hashem should be between us. This, again, they have a covenant forever. Now, most Mefarshim learn, most commentaries understand that this was a very simple messaging system. That how David's in hiding, how is Yonasan going to tell him if it's safe to come out? So he can't go himself, because then if he gets seen, so then people are going to know that he had some plan with David. But what he can do is he can send a signal, and if he's going to shoot the arrows and tell his servant, if I say to my servant, come closer, they're closer, that means, David, you can come close, you can come out. But if I say they're onwards, you know, I shot them further, go on and get them, so then that means, David, you should go on, you should run away. That was his message. That's how most commentaries work. Rashi has a very different approach. Rashi says that Yonasan was once again engaging in nichush, in foretelling, in divining, that he wasn't going to aim the arrow. He was just going to wind up and shoot. And depending on where it landed, that would be the message from Hashem, whether David should come close or David should run away. If it came up short of the stone, so that would be Hashem's message to him, that you can come out, you can come close. But if it would go further, so that would be Hashem's message to him, run away. And he was, yeah.
Isn't it dependent on Saul's reaction, like at the feast, I thought? Like,
well,
he would go to the feast, and then if
right,
Saul got upset, then...
Yeah, so even then, though, it seems they weren't necessarily going to be 100% sure. They're right, there has to be a little bit of both, you're right. We have to try to fit Rashi into that. We'll have to probably deal with that issue next week. But okay, we'll get to that in a moment. But
so it's like saying, well, if I get hit like a hole in one on this, then this will happen.
Right.
So it's okay for us to do that.
Okay. So hold
that's
on
not
a second.
So
we'll have to talk about whether you're allowed to do that or not. Right. But that's how Rashi learns what Yonasan was doing. He said, I'm going to shoot an arrow, and depending on where it lands, that's going to be Hashem's message to me, if you should come out or if you should keep running away. Now, the question is, are you allowed to do this? We know that there's a explicit verse in the Torah that says, Lo sinaches, you're not allowed to divine. You're not allowed to do these kinds of... You're not allowed to read omens. So The truth is that we already had this topic come up earlier. We had it here. We had it in Navi. We had it with Yonasan. Yonasan has done this before. When Yonasan was going to attack a group of Plishtim, he had the spirit of Hashem come over him. He felt, you know, I'm going to take, me and my servant are going to take on a bunch, 20 Plishtim. And he went up to attack them. And he said, Hashem, if the Plishtim approach us, so then that means I shouldn't fight them. I'm going to run away. But if they stay where they are, then that's a sign that I should attack them. And the Mefarshim wonder, how is he allowed to do that? So there's two different approaches as to how he was allowed to do that. The Radak learns, and others, that the reason why he was allowed to do that is because, you know what the prohibition of reading omens is? It's only for the past. If you see an omen, you can't say, oh, you know, a black cat crossed my path. That means I'm going to have a bad day, bad luck. You're not allowed to do that. However, you're allowed to say, if this and this happens, that's going to be a message that I should do this and that. You can make an omen for the future. That's what the Radak says. And that's why he was allowed to do that. And that would be why he would be allowed to do this also. However, the Ran and other Mefarshim say a different approach. They say, no. You know why he was allowed to do that over there? Because there it makes sense. It wasn't just an omen. There was a connection, exactly. There was a connection that if the Plishtim are approaching, that means they're not scared of him. So that means I should run away. But if they're standing back, that means they're scared, and maybe I could attack them and be victorious. We had the same thing with Eliezer. Eliezer says, when he's looking for a wife for Yitzchak, he says, Nichush says, the woman that will come out and give water to me, she's the wife for my son, for Avram's son Yitzchak. How is he allowed to do that? That's divining, that's foretelling. You can't do that. So again, the Mefarshim say that there was a connection. She was a balas chesed. If she had good midos, then she could be a good wife. So here there's no connection. So how do we paskin? Are you allowed to do this or not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch rules that this is the Shulchan Aruch says, Yei Shomrim. There are those who say that a person is allowed to make a sinning a sign for something that's going to come in the future, just as Eliezer did and just as Yonasan ben Shaul did. Take the Radak's approach and the tour, that as long as it's for something in the future, it's okay. And that would mean that it would be okay to do this over here. Without a connection, perhaps. The Yesh Osrin, and there are those who forbid it, the Rambam and the Smag, they say you can't. And the Ramah says over there that a person should go Betam Levavo, should be Tamimistic, he should be pure. And basically he's not recommending it, I think. So that's the discussion here. Again, that's how Rashi learns over here. Perhaps Rashi is going with that approach, that as long as it's in the future, then it's okay. As long as it's something for the future, you can, if the event hasn't occurred yet, then you can divine a future event. But all the other commentaries don't learn that that's what's going on here. They have a different approach. No, there was no, he was not just shooting the arrow randomly and seeing where it would land. He was going to aim the arrow, and based on what message he wanted to send to David, then he would decide to shoot it farther or to shoot it closer. And that's also, by the way, the Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Taima Dekra, we might learn it more late next week, but he says that that's why he needed three arrows, because he wasn't necessarily going to get it right the first time. We'll see exactly how he says it, but that's perhaps why he needed more than one arrow. If he was just divining what was going to be, so one arrow should do the trick. You don't want more than one arrow. That's going to just confuse things. But if he had to shoot it to a certain place, and send a certain message, you know, it's further, it's closer, so then it might take more than one shot, and that's why he perhaps needed 3 arrows.
Who were the two that said it's okay for the future?
The Radak and the Tour, I think. I think so. I think the Ran is the one who comes up with the idea that there's a connection. We had the Radak, wherever that was. Yeah. I know, but it was one of those interesting cases where the poskim bring down from the Radak in his commentary to Navi. They right? That's a rare thing that they bring from there. Now, yeah, okay. We mentioned that he switches the word for lad in these two verses, right? So in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, he says, Eshlach es hanar, omar lanar, I'll say to the lad. And in Pasuk Chaf Beis, he says, Vimko omar la elem, which is another word for lad, but it's a different word, elem. So what's the difference? So the Malbim says that he was giving him two different signs. One sign was if he would say it's closer or it's farther, and the second sign was what word he would use for lad, if he would use the word nar or elem. He says the word elem speaks to a stronger man, a stronger lad, a stronger servant. And so he says, so usually it would go like this. If he shot it close, then he would speak to the nar, to the lad, because it's, you don't need someone so strong. It's close, it's easy to get. But if he would shoot it further away, it would be harder to get, then he would send the elem, the stronger lad. Now, and that would, and based on if he would say elem, right, the elem, the strong lad, he's more zariz, he's more zealous, he's faster, he's quicker. So that would be a message to David to get away quick, to get away quick. And so he had two things, and they can, and basically, it gave him a little bit more flexibility in terms of the message. If he would say Na'ar, which was the weaker lad, and he would say it's closer, so that means David, it's totally safe to come out, come close for sure. If he would say Elem and that it's farther away, the strong lad, the fast lad, and that it's farther away, so that would mean David, run for your life. The situation is really bad. But if he would mix it up and say, you know, either the word Na'ar with Hala, that it's far away, but he uses the word for the weaker lad, or the other way, that he would say it's closer, but he would use the word Elem, the stronger lad, so that would kind of be a mixed message to David. He would be saying, the situation isn't so clear to me. I can't tell you that it's totally safe to come out, but I can't tell you either that it's super dangerous to run away. And I don't know what David's supposed to do in that situation, but I guess he's saying maybe it's your call. It's not clear what the situation is. And that was their plan going forward.
Later on, when he shoots there, he calls him Nar, not Elam.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not sure. We'll have to deal with that when we get there. All right. I think we're going to hold here. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, but we will not be reading the Haftarah.